I really thought that over Yom Tov I would have so much time to prepare. I would come first day, but I don't know. It just didn't work out like that. I want to talk to you today about the keshes, about the rainbow. Parshas Noach is all about the rainbow. In fact, let me go to the pasuk. Vayomer Elokim, Zois Ois Habris, Asher Ani Nosin Beinu Veinechem Bein Kol Nefesh Chayo Asher Itchem Dors Olam. It's between me and between every living creature. This is a very important. You say people think that the rainbow, is only for, human beings. It's not so. The rainbow is an oath for all living creatures. It's a sign for Uvein kol nefesh chaya asher itechem. That is something which, again, the average man does not realize. When the deer in the forest sees the rainbow, that rainbow was meant for the deer in the forest. It's not just for human beings. Okay, asher itechem l'dor salam eskashti nasati be'anon. I put the keshes. He goes on to say, I'm going to read the psukim again in a few moments to bring out a point, a chiddush. Okay, the first thing about the keshes is we make a bracha. There's a very beautiful bracha that we recite. It's a complex bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Zoicher Habris. If we would stop there, I think we would be very satisfied. Because most of our brachos are not so complex. They generally have one theme. But it goes on. It goes on to say, Neman bibriso, he is faithful in his bris. V'kayom bimamoro, and he fulfills his word. There are three parts to the bracha. Okay, we're not going to discuss three parts. Maybe we'll discuss it at another point in time, but I just want to point out this bracha. When do you make the bracha? So believe it or not, there is a very famous Yaros Tavash. It really comes from a Zohar. And it's mentioned by the Ben Yishchai. I think the one who gets the most credit for this is the Ben Yishchai. And it's, I believe, the minig among Belze Hasidim. Anyone here a Belze Hasid? No? No Belze Hasidim here today? They don't make a bracha. You see a Belze Chassid, they ask them this truth to confirm it. They don't make a bracha on the rainbow. They don't make. It says in Shulchan Aruch to make a bracha. You're supposed to make a bracha. How can I make a bracha? They don't make a bracha. Why? Because from the Zohar, that there are two types of rainbows. There is a rainbow of color, the regular rainbow. And there's another rainbow that's blue, only blue. Just techeles. Anyone know what I'm talking about? I have no idea.
Or is it called the rainbow?
I don't know. It seems that there are two different types. You have to be Askan Bidvarim, a scientist, to understand two different types of rainbows. And according to the Yaros Tavash Ben Yishchai, we are no longer in our times experts, proficient in differentiating between the two different types of rainbow. There's one type, a simpler type, that you don't make a bracha on, and there is a more complex type which requires other environment, other features, other conditions in the environment for it to appear. Different colors, different degree. I don't know the details. Maybe scientists do have some understanding if there is some truth to this. Some more complex from a rainbow. And that is the one upon which you make the bracha. And that rainbow, it's very rare. It's not so common that the conditions in the environment are such that we would be able to see this color, this hue, this form of rainbow. And that is the only one upon which we make a bracha. Therefore, so since we are not Bekiyim, Bizman Hazeh, they do not make a bracha at all. The Zohar makes mention of the double rainbow, the Yaros Tavash, the Ben Yishchai, and the Mela would not be Kim. So we may say, B'loy, Shem, U'malchus. That's not our custom. Halacha l'maaseh, all the poskim among us, they all say there's no question. Any rainbow you see, you make the bracha b'shem malchus. We don't. What's very interesting is that somewhere he'll hear in this sefer called Hakeshas b'Halacha, this kuntres printed by Yisachar Dov Hafman. I'm not sure who this person is. I know. I remember once we had a shiur about snemering a long time ago, sneezing in halacha.
Yeah.
Itush, he had a kuntres just like this. Everything you can possibly want to know about sneezing in halacha, so we put out this other kuntres called Hakeshas b'Halacha. In fact, they sell them together. And he suggests here a very beautiful, I think this is the Yaris Tavash, a very beautiful drush in the pasuk. When you read the pasuk, there's a lot of verbosity. Let me go back to the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Noach, V'hakimoisi esprisi itchem v'likaris kol bos, v'im v'lokim zois ois habris. The following is the bris. Asher ani noisim b'ini v'neichem v'in kol nefesh chaya asher itchem l'dar asoylam. So pasuk again, when the lane kriyas haTorah this week, you'll hear the parsha, take note of the verbosity. First it says, Eskashti nasati be'anan. I have created a keshes in the clouds. V'hoysal oispris be'niu ve'naretz. And that will be an oispris, okay, between me and the aretz. Then it goes on to say, Pasuk Gidal v'hoya be'anini anan ala aretz, when I will bring a cloud upon the earth, v'nir'aso hakeshes be'anon, the keshes will appear in the cloud. Why is Pasuk Yudal written? If Pasuk Yudal would not have been part of the Torah, we would not have taken note of its absence. Everything fits. Eskashi nasati be'anon v'hoysa lo esbris be'niu v'ein aretz. Then it would say Pasuk Tezvoth, v'zacharti esbrisi asher be'niu v'ein eichem u'vein kol nefesh chayo b'chol basar v'lo ye'oyra mayim l'mabal l'shaches kol basar. The whole pasuk is extra. So the Yaris Tvash, or I think it's the Yaris Tvash, says, no, that's exactly what the Zohar is alluding to, that there is a double keshes. There's the regular keshes, which existed from the time of Maya, because they all ask the question, what exactly did that come to? When was the keshes created? The keshes is a scientific fact. It existed from the time of Maya Siberatius. Color existed from the time of Maya Siberatius. The time of the Mabul, nothing new happened, and the impression you get is that after the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created something new. Something new is going to now serve as a bris that Hashem will no longer destroy the world. It's nothing new, it pre-existed. So most of the Rishonim say, exactly, it's nothing new. Hashem took something that already existed and just designated this pre-existing object, pre-existing phenomenon as the bris that's going to serve all future generations. That's not what the Zohar says. That's not what the Mefarshim says. No, indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did create something new. What was new? The second type of keshes. That is a new phenomenon that did not exist until after the Mabul. We do know that there were environmental changes that happened in the world from before the time of the Mabul, after the Mabul. In fact, I once told you from theory, Dr. Aaron Price, he told us Moshe was very into this, is that before the Mabul, the world, all of the heavenly bodies traveled in circles. The moon, the earth traveled around the sun in a perfect circle. That's no longer true. It travels in an ellipse. When did it change from a perfect circle to an ellipse? The Mabul. The Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Mabul by changing the gravitational pull, by taking out two stars, by removing two stars from Shemayim that totally changed the mechanics of the gravitational pull of the heavenly planets, and that changed the orbit of the Earth around the Earth around the sun, which changed the conditions on the earth. Man no longer lived for 1,000 years. Man would not be able to live more than 120 years. And part of that change also affected how light interacts with the atmosphere, which brought about the possibility for there to be a new type of keshes. So that's what the pasuk of the pasuk here says. And pasuk Yogimel, it says, "Is kash nasati be'anon." The hoysol osbris be'niu be'naris, which seemingly, I don't know the exact details, but seemingly it means this is an old bris. I have already established in the clouds the keshes in the time of my sebrachus, which served as an ospiris between me and the earth. Now, at this moment in time, I'm going to expand upon that keshes, that bris, by creating a new type of rainbow. The hoyoba anani on and alaoretz vinrasa hakeshes, the new keshes, and that's what's going to be the bris. Okay, so this is one interesting idea.
Once you pull it down, you can't stare at it.
Okay, we'll come back in a few moments. Talk about that in a few moments. Okay, then there's another very interesting Ibn Ezra that you should be aware of when you come to discuss, whenever you talk about the discuss the rainbow, and the Ibn Ezra says that indeed there was no rainbow before the marble. So how then did the rainbow suddenly appear? This is very bizarre, but it's not so bizarre. Before the marble, Light was different. Light was weaker, he says. This is Ibn Ezra on this pasuk. You have to see the exact words. Light was weaker. Being that light was weaker, when light interacted with the atmosphere, with the clouds, with whatever that means, it just did not produce the colors of the rainbow. After the marble, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words are, was Neschaze Ko'or. Light was... The quality of light was intensified. And that changed everything. That changed the atmosphere. That changed the lifespan of man. The way man is able to relate. You know, like this truth to evolution. There's among the Goyim. This intelligent design, evolution. Things were different at the time of my celebrations. There were a lot of major changes that happened after the marble. Yeah. The Ibn Ezra...
Most of them were... direction of weakening rather than strengthening, especially
so,
light.
So the Ibn Ezra says, this, he says that the or was nischazek, there was no, and Mimela, once it was nischazek, so Mimela, it wasn't like Hashem made something a new thing that is a rainbow. It's just that the light was too weak for a man to see the rainbow before the time of the marble. The or was nischazek. Now I once heard a drush expanding upon this idea. We know that after the Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that it's not going to happen anymore, the world, Hashem will destroy the world. What does that mean exactly? We know before Ma'aseh B'nei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Or, Vayomer Elokim Yihyeh Or, Vayehi Or. And the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi quotes this, Hashem saw that it's too good. Vayar Elokim Es Or Ki Toiv, which means it's too good. It's too good. Hashem knows there are going to be wicked people in this world, and it's not kedai for them to then be nana from the Or HaGonos, from this Or, from this light. And if I have to take this, then I have to go put it away in hiding. Hashem put away the Or for the tzaddikim and Liyos Lava. Right, Rashi and Chumash. This is what you teach children. Rashi and Chumash was put away for the children, for the tzaddikim and Liyos Lava. And then the world went on for a number of years until came the marble, and man sinned. After the marble, the Ibn Ezra says something changed with regard to light, because the fact that we can now see the rainbow, and the rainbow represents Yecheskel, the rainbow represents the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina looks something like the rainbow. Kemare HaKeshes Asher Ba'onon is the Mare of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Ibn Ezra says Nischaze Ka'ar. What it means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the world again to have some of the Or HaGonos. Doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over all the Or HaGonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned to the world a glow of the Or HaGonos. And therefore what? It's not possible any longer for mankind to sink to a level where they deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu to such a degree where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy the world. In other words, before the marble, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamsem hishchina to such a degree, the Anochi haster aster ponai was put on steroids. That was before the marble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayar Elokim Es Ha'or Ki Tov. I am gonna hide myself from man to such a degree that it will be so easy for man to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. And therefore he will sink to such a level where I'll destroy the world. Now, and therefore, Zelu Ma Zebora Elokim, and to the few Yechidim that are able to discover me in such an intense darkness, Kol HaKavot, they will be zochah to a degree of Shechina, of reward, that's way beyond what you can imagine. After the marble, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Ibn Ezra, was Nischazei Ka'ar. He brought to the world a little bit more of that, of the glow of the Ar HaGanus, which means even the lowest of low in this world does have some sense of a creator. And being there is some sense of a creator, man cannot possibly sink to a level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, forget it, this world is hopeless, I'm going to destroy the world. I'll prove this to you. There's a very beautiful book from Rav Moshe Wolfson. The Teva landed on Hore Ararat. There's only one thing we know about Hore Ararat in Chazal. It is a place, if you purchase wheat from Hore Ararat, it's impossible for that wheat to turn into chametz. The wheat, the kernels of wheat that grow on Hore Ararat do not... They do not ferment. Does not turn into leaven. It remains matzah. And the teva, that's where it landed. Al Hari Arat. What is chametz? What do Chazal say about chametz? Chametz is the seor shebeisa. It is the yetzahara. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu started a new world in Parshas Noach, he started the world in a place. You can't turn into chametz. Man cannot sink to a level where you'll go so low, you'll the yetzer will have 100% shlita. I'm putting you in a place where you'll be okay. The world, that concept came out in many different avenues, many different dimensions. It's al hori ararat. There's no long. There's not going to be sar shebi isa. I'm going to be neschazek the or. I'll give over a little bit more of the or hagonos, and that's why mimelo we can first see the colors of the rainbow, which fit very well with the concept that we can sense the shechina, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu's shechina is compared in the pasuk in Yecheskel to the colors of the rainbow, which means man has a sense of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and man can't sing to that degree, to such a degree, and therefore the world will always continue to exist until the end of time. Even though, Michal, you're winking, it seems to say that...
The whole thing seems so counterintuitive. You're saying you're punishing the world before the model because you withhold, because of the nature Hester Panim, so that only the few can figure it out. Then comes the flood, and then... You're rewarding.
There's a new beginning. No, you're not rewarding. You're giving the... You're just lowering the bar. Man is not capable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Midas Hadin.
And it's also quite optimistic to say that man can't sink low enough to...
That's,
so that the world deserves destruction again.
That's an idea that many...
It could happen, but I
that is an idea that many commentators say. That is a very popular idea, that when it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with the world, it doesn't mean that man can sink and to the lowest of low and who should be deserving. It's much deeper than that. It means that it's not possible for man to sink that low anymore. Man can't come to a degree of sin, even though it's obviously it's very hard for us to say, look at what's going on in the world out there. But in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, this is not the degree that warrants the destruction of the world. It may bring about a plague, chashal, it may bring about a destruction of who knows what, a chorban, but not to destroy the world like the Mabul. The time of the Mabul, man sank so low that it was kedai to destroy the world. That ability doesn't exist anymore, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the deeper meaning? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed himself more. How has he revealed himself? Ibn Ezra. Nischazei Ka'ar. What do you mean Nischazei Ka'ar? Where else was Ar taken away? The Ar HaGanus. Once the Nischazei Ka'ar, Al Derech HaTeva, Derech HaTeva, the Keshes first appears. Derech HaTeva parallels, the Derech HaTeva always parallels the Derech of Ruchnius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is sensed by human beings to a greater degree. Human beings sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a greater degree, that means they can't possibly sink to a level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would destroy the world.
But that's, you're saying human nature essentially has changed.
Yes, well...
Saying human beings can no longer descend. You open up any newspaper today, and the mind, it boggles the mind.
The things that go on today.
It's relative to what was, we don't know what was before. We don't have a benchmark. We don't have a way of evaluating the difference of how low man could have gone. Before the time of the Mabul, it appears that man could have gone even lower.
So you're saying then that the essential, the essence of man,
yes,
is the metzias of that has changed.
Well, we're saying a little deeper. We're saying that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, to some degree, has revealed himself in this world. In this world, the Anochi Haster Aster Pana, Hashem hides himself. To what degree? There are many degrees of hiding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself, but not to the same degree that he hid himself before the time of the Mabul. It's easier to discover, even though we don't see it, and man has sunk so low, but there's still some sense, sixth sense, deep buried inside, man does sense, and that prevents him from going even lower than we can possibly imagine. Okay, another quick halachic inyan. Are you allowed to take a picture of the rainbow? You asked this question. Are you allowed to be mistakel? So it's brought down that you're not supposed to be mistakel. It's because the rainbow represents the Shechina. It represents the Shechina. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayar Kisor Liros, Derecheres, when you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not proper for a human being, Kilo Yirani Adam V'chai, you don't look at the Shechina, even though the rainbow was not the Shechina, it's not proper, it's discipline not to look intensely at the rainbow. What about taking a picture? So he asked this question of Chaim Kanievsky. Is one allowed to take a picture? So he said, it's not us to take a picture, but he said, ain't a kedai. Since Chazal tell you that you're not supposed to be mistakel, that was very interesting, you're not supposed to be mistakel at the keshes, it's nothing wrong, you can take a picture. But Chazal have showed the spirit of the law. This is the Shechina. You don't go draw pictures of God. The same way you don't draw a picture of God, you shouldn't put up a big poster in your home of the rainbow. It's a beautiful thing to see. Okay, no one's denying that, but it's not something that should be viewed with tznius among all Yisrael. What about, do you need to see the entire rainbow? Can you make a bracha when you only see part of the rainbow? Just one? One part. Some say only can make a bracha when you see the entire, the keshes. It has to be the entire. I once saw the entire keshes. I was in Boston. I saw, mom, people were stopping in the streets.
I saw it at 65th Street, Brooklyn.
You saw it. They were stopping in the street, and everyone was kulam safa achas. Everyone was like this. Click, 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 click. Everyone takes out their smartphone and starts taking pictures of the rainbow, including me. Okay, what other? Okay, there are other things which we have to show. We'll do tomorrow. We'll just do one other thing. One other.
If you show me a picture of a rainbow,
no, definitely not. Definitely not. Okay, one of the quick little interesting questions is someone asked this question. The rainbow is an os. We all know that on Shabbos we don't wear tefillin. Why? Because Shabbos is an os. And Bris Milah is an os. So you already have two osos. So you don't need the third os. It's al pishnai meidim. You don't need a third os. So you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. So you see a rainbow on Shabbos, you shouldn't make a bracha. Because Shabbos is an os. And the rainbow is an os. So you shouldn't make a bracha. Another shaila. If I'm wearing tefillin, I shouldn't be allowed to make a bracha on the rainbow. So the answer.
You shouldn't have to put on tefillin.
So what is the answer? So obviously it's the comical question, but the answer is it's a different type of ois. The question brings out a yesoid. The yesoid is the ois of Bris Milah and the ois of Tefillin. Well, let's say better like this: the ois of not Bris Milah, but the ois of Shabbos and the ois of Tefillin are signs of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Even though Shabbos is also Zecher Ma'aseh Bereishis, but in the Aseres Hadibros it says, "You shall remember that you were slaves in Mitzrayim, and Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim and gave you the mitzvah of Shabbos." Shabbos is primarily in ois of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Tefillin certainly is only an ois for Yitzias Mitzrayim.
the olus of the rainbow is not, has nothing to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is very interesting, because almost everything that we do today goes back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything, even Yom Kippur, even Rosh Hashanah, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everyone asks, what in the world does Rosh Hashanah have to do with Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or Yosef was released from jail. These are all answers. They're not very satisfying, many of these answers. But everything always goes back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's very rare, hard to find something that truly, truly takes us back to Maaseh Bereishis. And one of those rare things that is pure is rainbow. When you see a rainbow and you make a bracha, Zecher HaBris, you're going back to Mamish Maaseh Bereishis, or the time of Noach, Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world, and he made a bris. He's not going to destroy the world. So the ois of a rainbow is not the same as Shabbos and Tefillin. So just because you're wearing Tefillin, and just because it's Shabbos, is not an excuse to exempt yourself from making the bracha on the rainbow. It's a whole different avenue, it's a whole different sphere, it's a whole different dimension. Okay, we'll do Mishnah more of this tomorrow.